You are listening to the Mom Halo Podcast. This sweet ear candy will serve up laughs and aha moments as we talk to best-in-class thought leaders. These folks are dropping gems of genius. I'm Alana Kapitz, CEO and founder of the Mom Halo community. I'm a fun, fearless, freckled mom with three wild kiddos. I love to introduce you to ideas and people that will rock your world, all while laughing out loud, because that is the only way to get through the daily grind of parenthood. Plug in your earphones and let's get to them.
For parents who are committed to raising resilient, musical kids, the Lane School of Music is ready to help your child harness their inner musician. With piano, violin, cello, guitar, ukulele, and voice lessons, each child can find an instrument that lets them shine. Our expert staff will guide you in choosing an instrument, finding a teacher, and getting the things you need to start your child on their musical journey. Music lessons at the Lane School of Music are always fun and tailor-made for each individual mini musician. Book your free trial lesson today at laneschoolofmusic.com. That's L-A-N-E schoolofmusic.com.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Mom Halo Show. I'm Lana Kapitz, and I am very excited because we're in studio live with an amazing, amazing genius.
Oh my God.
A very funny person. Welcome, Wendy Gordon. We're super excited to have you here.
Thank you. Let's give you
a big studio applause.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here today.
Well, we're really excited to have you here, and we're really excited to have you as a scholar for the Mom Halo. Who is Wendy Gordon? What does she do? What is a speech language pathologist? Take us through.
Excellent. Well, as you said, my name is Wendy Gordon. I am a speech and language pathologist. I work primarily with children ages 18 months and up. And scope of practice varies widely for speech pathology. It runs anywhere from feeding therapy, articulation therapy. So if you're having trouble saying certain sounds, fluency. So if there is maybe stuttering disorder, oral myofunctional therapy is something else I do. So things like tongue thrust and tongue tie. Language development is a big one. So receptive language, what does your child understand? Expressive language, what are they producing? So really it's all encompassing. I'm lucky to be a part of this field. I have been practicing for 25 years and the passion just continues. It's never dull. Every client is a new opportunity to work on something, and no two clients are the same.
I love that so much. So as the specialty, when somebody calls you right now, who's calling and what's like the chief complaint? Why is somebody calling you, Wendy Gordon?
So I hear a lot, oh, my child can't say this sound. Maybe it's an R. Maybe they have a lisp or an S. Common ones are TH or L. I have a lot of parents calling me that, you know what, my child is coming around age two. They're not really saying much. I'm a little bit concerned that they're lagging behind their peers. I'm hearing a lot of that, especially since COVID. There just wasn't the time for interaction and the socializing. And there seems to be an added need. And if you think about, you know, the kids who were at school, their teachers were behind masks. Everybody was behind a mask. So they missed that opportunity to really watch your mouth and see how things are produced.
You know, I forget that whole time period. I remember my kid was in, my older one was in JK at the beginning of COVID and then spent JK and SK in COVID, bouncing back and forth between being home. And when they were in school, everyone really super masked and thinking that it was going to deeply affect his language and speech. I mean, I don't think it did for him per se, but I could see other kiddos definitely struggling. So, taking me back. No, but it's so true, right? It is a flashback. Okay, I love that so much. So tell me about like a lisp.
Okay.
How do you cure a lisp? Like, not that I'm curing it. Like how, what's the first thing? What's the first thing you do for a lisp? Because that's an interesting one.
Okay, well, there could be many reasons for a lisp. Sometimes it goes back all the way to like pacifier use, thumb sucking. Your tongue is in a habitual low resting position for those things. So really try and get rid of the pacifier as soon as possible. Try to eradicate thumb sucking. I know it's not easy. I may or may not have sucked my thumb till I was 10. Yeah. Don't tell anybody.
Wow.
And hence braces twice. But really, so you want to eliminate any of those bad habits. And I talk a lot about sounds, but maybe give them a different name. So we're really working on it being fun and functional in therapy. So we're not doing drill work, you know, say stop, say snake. It's a lot of fun. We're working on our snake sound, and we want to keep our tongue hiding behind the gate. So we do a lot of visual work in front of a mirror and having the student watch what they're doing. A lot of practice, but the practice always involves something fun and functional so that the kids are really invested. So it might be a game, or you could go on a scavenger hunt around your house and look for objects that have the S sound. You could play I spy when you're in the car on your way to school. There's so many opportunities to work on speech that we don't necessarily think about, and to incorporate it so the kids aren't, you know, thinking, oh, my mom's nagging me about this again.
Right. So tell me about resources in speech and language. Obviously, you have this amazing show that you're sort of doing on social media. And are you on YouTube also?
No, I'm heading in that direction.
Okay.
I'm working
on that. No, so you're like very charismatic. I think you're hilarious. I think you're just naturally very funny. And every time you put out content or we talk or you make a comment, I'm like, I always think you're very funny. So this tool, or what's in the tool shed for parents versus toys and resources when they encounter a language or speech delay issue, et cetera?
Believe it or not, you can turn anything into a toy or game or fun or language experience. So we happen to have glasses of water sitting in front of us.
Right.
Grab a toy.
Okay.
We could put it in the water, out of the water. Oh, it's wet, and draw attention. One of the most important things I offer to parents, draw attention to your mouth. Hold objects up to your mouth so that the kids can visualize what is happening here. So we could talk about things being wet and dry. And this is the way we wash our car, wash our car, set up a whole car wash. It could be something as simple as the leftover of a paper towel tube.
Right.
Take that. It's now a binocular.
Right.
I spy. Hold it up to your mouth or your child's mouth.
Right.
And now you've got an amplifier.
Right.
A microphone. They can hear their voice amplified through the tube.
Right.
So I think one of the things I excel at and help my parents with is, again, using the things in your home to help foster speech and language. It doesn't have to be fancy. You just have to know what to do
with it. Well, we actually just did something with you on Instagram this week, which was a Valentine's Day piece.
Yes.
Where you did the L with the lollipop and you were holding the lollipop and telling them to sort of reach their tongue. How important is the tongue in all of this conversation? Because I feel like it's crucial.
It is crucial.
Okay.
It is crucial. So we think about our articulators. You know, we've got to get the air coming up from our diaphragm through our lungs. It comes through our vocal folds. Our tongue. Our tongue does a lot of work. So if you think about people who maybe aren't elevating their tongue, well, you're missing out on sounds like L and T and D and N and S. The majority of our sounds are actually made at the top half of our mouth. So if your tongue, for whatever reason, maybe, again, it could be because you've been sucking your thumb and your resting position is low, you could have a tongue tie. Which is the frenulum underneath your tongue, that
that's what it's called. Yeah, your frenulum.
Frenulum.
God, that word.
Tap it out. Frenulum.
Frenulum.
Very good. That could be inhibiting the tongue from moving. I always look at that as a potential aspect.
Interesting.
So we want to make sure that the structure of your anatomy is capable of producing the sounds as well. And then it's about retraining and repetition. So if we're learning a new habit, think about the repetition. I like to give the analogy to kids because they need to be invested as well. So if I come to your house, which I do in person,
okay,
in your home, and I also do teletherapy, the kids have to be invested as well. Just seeing me once a week is not going to cure it, but really like work as a team with the parents or the teachers or the dentists or the orthodontists and the child. So we get the best outcomes.
Yeah.
So I tell the kids, okay, think about, let's say they play a sport. Let's say we're in Canada. So hockey, if you played hockey once a week, you might be good. You might have some natural talent.
Right.
But what if you played every day?
Yeah.
Even just a little bit.
So, right.
You know, we start them off slow. You don't have to practice speech for hours upon hours a day. I like to do fast five, even. Like it takes 2 minutes. Set a timer for 2 minutes and play speech comp with your kids and say, okay, I'm going to listen for 2 minutes. Let's hear your best errs in the next 2 minutes. Or, you know, you're in the car, fast five. Find five things that have your S sound as we're driving.
Right.
So it's really incorporating it into your daily life and having the child take ownership as well. And I really do find all the kids I work with, they do take pride in it and they are proud and so excited to show me when they've practiced and when they've accomplished one of the goals. That
okay.
Are you ready to go from overwhelmed to empowered? Revive and Thrive is a 4-week online journey to finding more energy and a steady mood for moms. This accessible and self-directed program is packed with expert advice from a naturopathic doctor to help you optimize your diet, uplevel your stress management, get a better night's sleep, create a realistic exercise routine, and more. You'll discover the small and sustainable lifestyle changes that will help you feel more balanced, vibrant, and even-keeled all day long, with practical tips designed to be implemented with ease. Visit AlexaToronto, TORONTOW.com for more information and use code MOMHALO for 50% off the program if you book before October 15th, 2024.
So now that you've sort of schooled me a bit, I'm going to ask you some of like my kids, like personal.
Sure.
So Henry obviously is like my youngest baby is very developed, like globally delayed and has a lot of speech issues and his vocal cord fold is actually paralyzed on one side.
Okay.
So we have just like a breath control issue. He can't even get the breath up to get two words together. So everything for him in language is just like getting his needs met. Like there's no like, look, mom, at the blue sky. It's like pointing, grunting. And he also has autism. So it's a lot of like, we're like a disaster in this case. And I'm not super concerned because he's just going at his own pace. I think he sees an SLP at school, I think, but we have a communication board for him.
Great.
He points.
Excellent.
It's funny. My daughter's Essa, E-S-S-A, and he can't say it. So he says Etta. So he misses the S. But my son Elias, I can see he goes Yayas. So I can, so if they say like parents can understand their own children.
For sure.
So that, you know, I think there's a point though, when like maybe like what's the age when like not just a parent should understand their child?
Okay.
When does that, when do we cross over?
Good question. So if there's a difference actually between, as you said, a familiar listener and an unfamiliar listener, because obviously as parents, we tend to understand more of what our children say. I would say a red flag is if you have to translate a lot for other people and they say, you know, what did your child say? What did they say? So really we're looking by age five for the child to be about 75% intelligible to an unfamiliar listener. They should be 100% intelligible to a familiar listener. But, you know, if you go back, like age two, probably about 50% intelligibility. So, you know, and it varies because as you said, your son, I love that he's pointing and gesturing and that he has a communication board. I always teach basic signs. Teaching sign language does not inhibit language development in any way.
That's a silly one, eh?
It is a silly one.
Yeah.
That is a myth because it only enhances
my son's signs.
Fantastic. I taught my kids from the get-go
how
to sign. And you know, I can still give them the finger across the room and they know exactly, exactly what I mean.
That's so funny.
Yeah. But I did teach them some functional things.
That's really funny. Yeah, no, functional sign language is for sure a part of our life. And it was for all my children, but Henry is 3.5 and because of all of his delays, like he still signs. And sometimes he'll sign and then I'll say more.
Fantastic.
And I'm waiting for him a count of four, which is really hard to
do
before I say, let him say more to me. And it usually happens. And he's picking up a lot of, he's also quite hearing impaired. Actually, we had to get some hearing aids for him. But I'm actually more interested in my son, Elias, who is in grade two. I've noticed, I'm not sure if this is like your expertise or not.
Sure.
But I'll try you because you have years of experience. You're a genius of this area. He'll, when he's processing a thought, he'll pause and he'll go, he clicks.
Oh, interesting.
He'll be like, Mom, something happened at school today. At recess, it's the weirdest thing. It's like, he's like it's, I don't know if he's producing too much saliva, but he clicks.
Okay.
And I just noticed it because like in the last 3 months and I was like, should I talk to somebody about this? And then I'm kind of waiting for him to like,
do you see extra saliva?
No,
pulling?
No, he's just like,
we see that.
No, he's like, he's just like doing this. Well, he's waiting for his thought to process. And instead of saying, and okay, like,
that's his
he's
just filler. Like, oh, that's interesting. That's
yeah.
Filler,
have you ever heard of that? No.
Not in that particular case, but there are other fillers.
I said to him before, I was like, Elias, why are you clicking? He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, okay, he doesn't even know. So
okay,
we have parent-teacher interview tonight. So I'm actually going to bring up his teacher because I'm like, is this normal? Because he's like, today at school, Mom, I had to ask you something. And he like does this weird, like, anyways.
Okay, let me. So
if it's not like a standard, anyways. Okay. Yeah.
But you know,
tell me about fillers. What is a filler? What does that mean?
A filler. So, like, you know, sometimes we have those.
And
yes.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. When will we be concerned?
When are we concerned?
Okay. Yeah. When are we concerned? So now we're talking about fluency and stuttering.
Right.
So it's pretty typical. I just did a filler.
It's funny. When I edit my own videos, I always edit out the and likes, buts, and goes, because that's me, goes, instead of says, I say goes. It's like an old like Valley Girl thing. I don't know. I'm like, and then she goes and he goes instead of says. So I try to edit those things out of my own videos because I'm like, who can stand someone saying those things?
Well, you can edit it out of mine while you're there.
There is.
See, I just did it again. So it's pretty typical for everybody to have some disfluencies.
Right. What's a disfluency?
Good question.
Yeah.
Disfluency would be stuttering, another name for stuttering.
Okay.
And it's pretty typical for kids between the ages of 2 and, let's say, 6 to go through some periods of disfluency or stuttering.
Mm.
So parents might notice as their child is acquiring language, maybe they've got some initial sound repetitions, like they're saying as they're getting going. Perhaps they have some whole word repetitions, like I went to the store.
Interesting.
Could be a whole phrase that they're repeating. So we look for a couple things as far as red flags.
Okay.
One is, how long has the parent noticed this happening? So generally, if it's been happening over 6 months, perhaps you want to seek the advice of a speech pathologist. If there's any family history of stuttering, that could also be a potential red flag, because mm-hmm. there has been shown to be some genetic component to it.
Interesting.
Blocks. So if your child is trying to get a sound out and literally nothing comes out, so it's like and nothing comes out.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a red flag.
Interesting.
And any secondary characteristics. So we look for, is there eye gaze aversion? So if your child's trying to say something, but they're not looking at you and they're looking away, or we can see obvious neck tension.
Interesting.
Those are some of the things that might raise more of a red flag.
Oh my God, Wendy, who knew that SLPs?
Like, it's a lot.
It's very broad.
It is broad.
It's very deep. Right. It's a wide but also deep field.
It really
is. I had
is.
No idea this was part of your expertise. Wow. Fascinating. So what is it called again when you're looking for those words? What did you say?
So some people call it stuttering. Some people call it disfluency.
Oh, disfluency.
Or fluency.
Mm. Talk to me about kids who grow up in multiple language households. Do you see that? Like, what's the challenge there sometimes?
So parents sometimes are concerned mm-hmm. that speaking multiple languages in the home, especially if they're concerned about a language issue mm-hmm. with their child, may hinder their development. But studies have shown that that's not actually the case. When I work with kids who are part of a multilingual family, I encourage the second language, third language, whatever they're learning. I don't want the parents to stop using their native tongue,
right?
Discourage them from their cultural values. That, you know, it shouldn't hinder language development. We may want to keep the language a little bit simpler for kids who are having delayed language issues. So maybe expressively, mm-hmm. maybe they're not saying enough words or their vocabulary isn't as robust.
Right.
Typically we look for, and there is a wide range of what we consider normal, but generally speaking, mm-hmm. Around 12 months, we're looking for a few words. Around 18 months, we're looking for like 10 to 50 words. And by age two, kids are typically starting to combine two words together.
I love that so much. Okay. Tell me about, I just had a thought and it jumped out of my brain. Yes. Tell us, when do we get like hearing involved? When does audiology
yes,
become part of the conversation? Because then for some kiddos, it's so funny. I was talking to my friend who's an eye doctor. Oh, Michelle Barron. She was an expert here last year. And she was saying like dentists got it right. Like the kids get their teeth checked early and frequently.
Right.
But people don't get their eyes checked or their hearing checked with any frequency. And if you notice anything with your kiddo with any sort of delay or you think there's something limiting them, like 100%, like get their eyes, ears checked. But she's like, the dentist somehow, I don't know. Like everyone believes you have your kids' teeth checked every 6 months, but people don't get their kids' eyes or hearing checked. So tell us, what does hearing play a factor?
Excellent question. For me, I always recommend as part of a comprehensive assessment, if you're working with me,
yeah,
to please get your child's hearing checked.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if there's a history of ear infections, fluid in the ear, or obviously if you have any concerns that you're calling your child, they're not hearing you,
mm-hmm.
they talk really loud, the TV's up loud. But even if you don't think there's an issue, there could be. I had a lot of parents who, I recommend going for a hearing screening. You could get a referral from your doctor for an audiologist. I know the Canadian Hearing Society on Spadina, you do not need a referral for. I'm not sure what their wait lists are at the moment, but you don't need a referral. But I always recommend it because you just don't know. That could be one piece of the puzzle that you want to investigate and eliminate.
I love that so much. I'm just going to take a look now at your Instagram account.
Okay.
Let's go, because you have created amazing videos. I'm just looking at the one we posted yesterday, a hot tip on the head, hilarious, informative scholar, Wendy. Words with Wendy. What is Words with Wendy? And what are we trying to accomplish with this Instagram page? Because it's so, so, so informative. Go for it.
Thank you, Alana. I found that there was a void, especially because the wait lists for speech can sometimes be lengthy.
Yeah.
Or the cost can be a factor if it's not covered by insurance,
mm-hmm.
or you're geographically not able to access a speech therapist, which, thank goodness for the teletherapy. I just wanted to create some fun videos for parents to help their children. Specifically, this is for speech sound disorders. So again, maybe they're just having a hard time pronouncing L. We had the lollipop tip up yesterday.
Yeah.
I've put up a P video. I tried to do the earliest developing sounds first. So the P, but because they're the most visual.
Yeah.
So kids tend to learn those first because mm-hmm. you can see them on your mouth. And just simple tips that you could use at home to sort of encourage that speech sound development.
So I'm going to encourage any of our moms who are listening right now, If anything that Wendy has said today sounds like it resonates with you, please run to her Instagram account, Words with Wendy SLP, because she is dropping gems every day.
Thanks, and Alana. You're
so funny and so engaging, and I'm so excited to help sort of share your gospel.
Thank you.
Wendy, if somebody wants to find you, let's go through your coordinates, please. How can somebody get in touch with you?
Absolutely. So I can be reached via email at wendyspeech@gmail.com.
Yeah.
You can find me on Instagram at Words with Wendy SLP. And I branched into the TikTok universe briefly. And that's Words with Wendy.
I love that so much. Okay, so we had one last question. It came in through Instagram yesterday. We got a DM because as our co-hosts, which is our community, we've asked them for questions. And somebody was saying that they are finding that their kid having a hard time with the letter R.
Oh, yes.
And they're in grade two. So what do you do with the WEDs?
With the WEDs and the WUBs used?
Yeah.
Okay. So tip for R.
Yeah.
Think tub. T stands for tight. U stands for up. B stands for back. That's what your tongue needs to be. Tight. Up and back. So you have to elevate your tongue. The sides have to give your upper molars a kiss or a hug. And it's got to be tight. Or I tell the kids, imagine that somebody is behind you and they're pulling a string behind you on your tongue. Mm. Yet the tongue has to be back. So I would say for most kids who are mispronouncing R, it's because their tongue is not going up and it's not tight. So they're more of a than an R.
Mm.
So, you know, not to get technical, it's the lateral margins of your tongue that have to reach the upper inside molars. But for kids, I have a mouth. I have visuals. We use Play-Doh, not in their mouth, in my toy mouth to show exactly where the tongue needs to be. Oh
my gosh, I love this so much. Wow. Knowledge. Go follow Wendy. She is so amazing. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much, Alana.
And you're really like such a pleasure. I mean,
thank you.
If somebody wants to book with you, do you have availability?
I have some availability. Okay. I try to work with you to figure out best timing. And if you're in the Toronto area, try and do in-home or again, via teletherapy. Mm-hmm. I was able to pivot during COVID and found a whole new world of online awesome stuff. So that is just as effective.
I love it.
So reach out. I'm so happy to help.
I love that. I'm going to manifest for you that you're going to be like the next like SLP Miss Rachel vibe and that you can blow up. We got to get you on TikTok and YouTube. I mean, all your videos right now could easily be uploaded to all those chat platforms, you know? So that's my rule is take one piece of content and use it 10 ways. So you're awesome.
Thanks, Thank you, Alana. You as well.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode of the Mom Halo podcast, I'd love your support by sharing it with others, posting about us on social, or leaving a really good rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram at the Mom Halo. Thanks so much, and I'll see you next time.
We're recording today's podcast at the Collective Workspace in North York, voted one of the top 20 co-working and event spaces in Toronto by BlogTO for 2024. This gorgeous space is perfect for drop-in day passes, a long-term office suite with rentable boardrooms available on demand, and even an event space for your private and corporate event rentals. Check them out now at www.thecollectiveto.com or on Insta at The Collective TO and book a tour.